Thank the Lord this morning for His salvation to every one of us. The offering of Himself, the giving of Himself, and that songwriter said, for me. I think we need to, as people, understand that Christ did what He did for me. And we can put our name in there. And our name, the songwriter said in another place, once stood with sinners lost and bore a painful record. But the Lord, I'm thankful today to report that the Lord was crucified for me. And we can now be delivered. We can be saved and made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Thank the Lord for that this morning. I'd like for us to consider thought this morning. And I'd like to preface it with this little statement. The thing that the topic of the message today is something only you can do. Something no one else can do for you. Something that no one else can do in your stead. Something that only you can do yourself. And that's paying the full price for the offering. Paying the full price for the sacrifice. Something that each one of us have to come to a place in our life where we're willing, if we want to be successful, if we want to enjoy fellowship with God in its richness and its fullness, to realize that there's a sacrifice and there's an offering that needs to be made. And there's an offering that we're talking about this morning. Only you can make it. There's a lot of things in life we can do for others. We can help one another physically, financially, emotionally. We can repair something for someone. We can actually pay people's debts for them. But this that we're talking about this morning, even Christ Himself cannot pay this. The price of the offering that you owe the Lord. Only you can pay that this morning. I want to read in 2 Samuel this morning, 24th chapter of 2 Samuel, and the 17th through perhaps the end of the chapter, the 25th verse. And David spake, this is 2 Samuel 24 and 17. And David spake unto the Lord when he saw the angel that smote the people and said, Lo, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, or these people, what have they done? Let thy hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. And Gad came. Gad was one of the prophets, one of the advisors to David, spiritual advisors. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, Go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face unto the ground. And Araunah said, Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, To buy the flesh and the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Araunah said unto David, Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifices, and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah as a king give to the king. And Araunah said unto the king, The Lord thy God accept thee. And the king, or David, said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price, Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David brought the threshing floor and the oxen of 50 shekels of silver. For 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. The scripture that caught our interest and our attention today is the 24th. And the king said to Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. Those things in life, those things that are precious to us, they have a value to them. We see here that David had sinned. He had sent Joab out, I believe, to number the people. And Joab didn't want to do it. Joab was his lieutenant, his right arm, if you will. And Joab said, don't do that. That's not right. But David went against counsel and he numbered the people. The anger of the Lord came upon him for that because, in part, I believe, God wanted David and the Israelites to trust in him and not in the numerical number that they may or may not have. And the Lord chastened Israel, and he gave David three choices of what the punishment might be. And David said, well, it's too great for me. I'm going to just throw myself into the hands of the Lord, the mercy of God. And I believe it was 3 days or so of pestilence upon the land. And David repented. David was sorry. But God punished David. And God punished David, and consequently the people suffered. The good news is David repented. This is not my main thought, but there are places that only I can go with God. There are places only you can go with God. And when it comes to repentance and being sorry for our transgressions, sorry for our behavior, sorry for our words, only you, only I can repent for ourselves. No one can repent for us. David came to that place and he was the mighty king. And he placed no responsibility anywhere else. He recognized fully that he had done wrong, that he had transgressed, that the behavior that he exhibited displeased God, and he and the people were being punished for it. David assumed that responsibility. Would to God this morning that we quit ye like men, that we be strong, and we assume the responsibility for our life, for our actions, for our relationship with God. Too many times in life, people want to place their relationship with God in someone else's hands. What a weak and a feeble place. What a place of uncertainty that is. People allow the discourse between people to either encourage them or discourage them in the Lord. They look upon the crowd or they look upon people and measure God by that. Oh, this morning, may we take the responsibility of no excuses before God in everything we do. And that we not offer God second best. Or that we not excuse ourselves from offering the very best. David recognized what he had done. Gad came to him and he said, you need to go down to the threshing floor and you need to make an offering and a sacrifice, and not just any but a burnt offering. Well, when David got down there, he was the king. And Araunah, if I'm pronouncing that right, obviously admired the king, wanted to find favor with the king. He wanted to do something for the king. And he said, no, you don't have to pay for this. It's no cost to you, David. You just take this and you do what seems right before the Lord and before you. You know, in life, many times life offers us what seemingly is an easier way out. Something that's more expedient. Something not as costly. Something not as precious. And the devil and the world and our flesh will come around and tell us that here is an offering, here is a way for you to get out of the expenditure financially or the spiritual expenditure. Why don't you just take this route? Why don't you just not pay so much? Let me help you with this. So David was offered a good deal. Let's face it, David went down with money. He went down there with the intent of buying. And the man said, no money, I'll give it to you. Wonder what I would have said. I wonder what you would have said. Do you realize now that David didn't go down there just to buy a piece of land? He went down there to repent, offer a burnt offering, and he went down there to worship the Lord. He went down there to offer himself. He went down there to offer the outpouring of his heart and plead with God. You know, when it comes to doing business with God, when it comes to worshiping the Lord, when it comes to making a sacrifice to the Lord, there's no cost too great. There's no cost greater than our soul. There's no cost greater than our relationship with God. What will a man give in exchange of his soul? What will we give in exchange for God's presence? Is there anything better than the blessings of the Lord that makes us rich and He addeth no sorrow? Is there anything greater than the wisdom and the love, the mercy, the protection, and the presence of the Lord? Is there anything greater and more precious than the holiness of the Lord? Is there anything greater than the light from on high of Jesus Christ in our life? Whatever sacrifice, whatever it cost us, whatever we need to do, David got a hold to it. I need God. And I need Him more than, was it 50 shekels or however many shekels of silver it was? Regardless of what I may regroup or not have to spend, that's not what I'm here for. I'm not looking for a good deal. I'm not looking for an easy way out. I've transgressed. I've sinned. The sheep are hurting. Something is much more important than me saving a little money. I'm not going to make that exchange, David said. No, nay, I am going to buy this piece of property. I'm going to buy everything here. Far be it from me to offer to the Lord something that does not cost me. That is a wonderful statement. That's a place that the flesh wants to draw back from. That's a place where people don't want to go. And the world offers us better deals, so to speak. The world offers us an alternative. Knowing people like we are, I feel like in the very general scheme of things, most people would have jumped at this offer. Most people would have said, wow, I can get my cake and I can eat it too. I can save my shekels of silver. It won't cost me anything. And I can take all these oxen. Well, they won't cost me anything. And look at all the woods already here. Won't cost me a thing. There'll be no expense to me. Wow, this is pretty good. And besides that, God will be happy. David knew better, folks. David knew that he had sinned. David knew he needed God. And he knew that God would not accept an offering that didn't cost him anything. Thank the Lord for that and that example to us. If David had accepted the offer, would it have been his sacrifice? Would it have been his offering? No, it would have been Uriah's. It would have cost that man something. It would have cost him his oxen. Wouldn't have cost David a thing. It wouldn't have cost David the price of the lumber or the price of the ground. It would all have been Uriah's. But David was there to do business for himself. There's places, folks, that you and I can't take anybody with us. There's things that people cannot do for us. And that relationship with God, if we're sinners today, repentance is something only the individual can do before God. There's no forgiveness in any other name. We must all plead that blood and plead that sacrifice. And there's an offering of ourself that I cannot go out and get someone else and say, I'll pay you to be my offering to the Lord. And I want you to live diligent. I want you to live kind. I want you to live holy. I want you to live in such a way that God is so pleased with you. I want you to be totally dedicated to the Lord. I want you to do everything God says and love Him with all your heart. And I'll put a check in your money in your checking account each month. You know, sometimes I wonder about people if maybe they don't have some kind of mindset like that. That they can come before God and say, Lord, I'm giving you this. I'm offering you my heart. But their heart's nowhere to be found in the matter. There's no cost. There's no denying of self. There's no taking up the cross and following Him. There's no denying of flesh and the fleshly intents. Ruled by emotions and ruled by feelings and ruled by lust and ruled by money. Where is the price of the sacrifice in those things? They're not there. David said, I'm not going to offer something to the Lord that didn't cost me something. May the Lord help us to gain from this. The burnt offering was, the way I understand it, was a unique offering in that the burnt offering had to be totally consumed. It wasn't an offering in part or in piece, but it was something that was expected to be totally consumed upon the altar. And it signified, this is the writings of historians, that it signified the offering of the sacrificer himself. Totally, soul, mind, and body to God. This burnt offering was to be totally done away with. It was symbolic of one's total submission to the will of God. And these offerings signified the total dedication to the Lord. Totally given oneself to God through the symbol of a burnt offering. Nothing left of the offering. Nothing left that would resemble the animal. Nothing left that they could say there's life in that animal. Nothing left that could be used for selfish purpose. Nothing left of that animal that could rise up instead of God. But that person, that individual, David here in this case, was totally acknowledging his dependence, his sin, his error without God. He was saying to God Himself, I am totally giving myself over, that none of me be left. I know that is symbolic, and I know that that was the day of the law. But God is still looking for my offering and your burnt offering. He's still looking for the man right here to be consumed. He's still looking for you and me to pay the price. He's looking for you and me that there be nothing left of us to raise up in any kind of usurping of God, any kind of taking our way. But He's looking for men today to pay the price of dedication, of humility, of offering themselves to God without reservation, pouring out their heart, their life, their sins, their needs, all the things that would hinder someone, and say, Lord, take me as an offering to You. Take my life, the long songwriter said, and let it be consecrated, dedicated. I wonder, are we paying the price this morning? Are we holding back part of the pledge? I speak to us all, and I don't mean anyone in particular. But I wonder sometimes, do we get the importance of the burnt offering here? It was not to hold back a portion thereof. It was not to give the priest any of it. It was all dedicated symbolically unto the Lord of a total surrender of the individual. Are we today paying that full price? Are we paying the full price of surrendering? Or are we holding back because I want so-and-so? Or the devil comes along with a better deal and says, you don't need to do that, just do so-and-so. One time I had to make a restitution. Before I was saved, I had stole some things. And I had to, no question in my mind, I got to make that right. So I went to my, at that time, supervisor, and I told him what I felt the Lord would have me do. He said, well, and he meant well. He said, why don't you just take that money that you're talking about? Because it was going to involve a little paperwork. He was going to have to tell his boss and, you know. So basically what he was saying, I got a good idea. Why don't you just take that money and give it to the church? Boy, a little light bulb went off in my head. I can do that. And the embarrassment at end right here between me and my boss. Oh, right quick, right behind that thought came this answer. No, that won't please the Lord. Whatever you got to do, tell your supervisor, our engineers, that Stanley's confessing that he hadn't been honest and he wants to make restitution. Well, to say the least, he didn't like that idea because it was getting him off of a loop of having to try to work everything. But I said, no, I'm not going to just give that money to the church. That'd be taking the coward's way out. So he said, okay, if that's what you want to do. By the way, they didn't fire me. But after he left, we were at a plant. And after he left and I got out of the car, I felt, he said, the blessings of the Lord make us rich. And he added, no sorrow. I felt, literally, folks, light on my feet. It was a physical, spiritual, but it was a physical experience. I felt like if I jumped, I might go 20, 30, or 40 feet up in the air. I felt so good. God is looking for us to make a complete sacrifice. The world will offer you a better way. The world will say, there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody's doing it. But God is not looking at it that way. He's looking for you and me to place ourselves on the cross and make a total sacrifice of ourselves. David, hey, he was king. He didn't even have to do it. He could have just kept on passing the buck till the 3 days was over with or whatever, I suppose. But he went and he said, I've sinned. I've done wrong. And the people are suffering. Did you know there are families that suffer because fathers aren't willing to pay the full price? There are families that are suffering because mothers are not willing to pay the dedicated price. There are families, there are people today that are growing up with warped views of Christianity because mom and dad, through selfishness, have failed to be crucified with Christ. God help us to present Christ as a joy and service to the Lord as joy and a freeing element. Folks, when I made those restitutions, and I wasn't the only one, but when I made that restitution, I was free. There was no chain holding me. I was free in that thing. And I just really felt that I could just float off right there. Maybe I could have been translated right then. May the Lord help us. Not only do we suffer, the congregation can suffer. We can come here, and I promise you I'm not pointing a single solitary finger, okay? We can come here and expect others to carry the load because I have not paid the price of dying to myself. We can come with feelings and attitudes and miss the richness and the blessings of God because I am not willing to pay the full price of the sacrifice. David said, don't talk to me of an easier way. It's my responsibility. I've got to take care of this. Folks, And I know you know this, but the preacher can't do it for you. You know, I can preach, and Brother Philip and Sister Marcia, different ones, can preach, and that's good and that's proper. But folks, we can't get it for you and give it to you. It comes with a humility before Christ. So we think about all of this, and then we're reminded in Romans, the 12th chapter, in the first two verses, you know it well, and it doesn't mention sanctification, and I'm not necessarily mentioning it either, but we can mention exactly what Paul wrote here. He said in 12:1, he said, I beseech you, I cry out to you, because of the things I've learned, because of the experiences I've had, because I've been with the Lord, because I have given myself, I have seen the effects of people who don't. I have seen the experiences of the men and women who were willing to make a total surrender, and I want to recommend that to you. I also want to warn you that I have seen those who gave half the price or part of the price or would not yield and take up their cross. And I want to warn you about that approach also. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. When I think of bodies here, I think of everything contained in this temporal man, this physical man. That's my hand, my feet, my eyes, my tongue, my mind, everything about me. But I believe it goes further than that. Our bodies are meant to be the temple of God. Our bodies, the temple of God, were in the Old Testament, was to be constructed exactly the way God intended it to be. I believe this morning that God wants this temple here today. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost, to be totally dedicated at our cost. I know there's thoughts about Jesus paid the price, and we're not going there. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about what we have to do. God is looking for us to pay the price, not to bring in second-class material, not to bring in second-class gold, if you will. Bring in second-class material for the building of the temple. God is looking for you and me to pay the ultimate price of ourselves on an altar, a living sacrifice, holy, completely pure within. Not willing to allow dross, willingly, knowingly allow dross to stay around. Did you know one of the things that happened to man, and Christian men and women can happen to them? We might get in a place where we tolerate and justify dross. Dross takes away. Making excuses and justifying dross will lead us to backsliding. It will lead us away from God. It's making a league with something that's not right. Lord, help us today. If we see dross in our life, Lord, help this man. If I see dross in my life, be willing to sacrifice it. Is it my attitude? Sacrifice it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Me having my way and going to hell, what a deal. You know, a lot of people are saying, I'm going to stand and I'm not going to pay that price. That's asking too much for me, as they step right over into the gates of hell. It's not worth it, is it? Is my attitude worth an eternity in the lake of fire? I think not. Is me having my way, getting the last laugh, if you will, worth going into hell for? I think not. Is it worth losing the blessings of the Almighty? I don't think so. What can compare? He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. What is greater than that, folks? You that know that experience will tell us today there's nothing greater than the blessings of the Lord in our life. If there's dross, pay the price. Pay the price and get rid of it. Abhor that thing. He said, I beseech you, I cry out, your body is a living sacrifice, holy, pure, in other words, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable. Here's what the flesh does. That's too much. That's, you know, You don't have to do that. Well, look, look over there. They're not doing it. Yes, but I'm not them. I'm me. And they can't go with me to heaven or hell or judgment. And I can't go with them. Every man shall give an account of himself. Lord, help us to remember that. A living sacrifice that is reasonable. But it's going to cost us. He said if we don't take up our cross, follow Him, we're not worthy of Him. David found real quick that Araunah was willing to help him out. Job's comforters. Jesus said that our enemies, our foes, could be those of our own house, willing to help us out. Parents, be careful with our children. If they messed up, they messed up. Don't run interference for them. Oh, if they're little, sure, we go in. We instruct them and we comfort them, but folks, they got to learn to pay the price. If your child messes up, you go to that child and you see that child straightens it up. And don't make excuses for it. Sure, you lead them and you guide them and you pray with them, etc., etc. But we've got to learn to face the responsibility. When I was a little tyke, barely can remember this, so I'd like to think I was real young. I was over at an old friend's house one time, and he was quite a bit younger than I was. Just barely remember that. He had a bracelet that I admired. The bracelet was laid on something. I don't forget where now. I took it. I did. And our houses were 30, 40 yards apart. On the way home, I got to thinking, I remember this. There's no way for me to go home with this bracelet. Because my mama, she had eyes on the side of her head besides the back of her head. And the first thing she was going to say is, Stanley, where'd you get that bracelet? I knew I couldn't take it home. I hid it. A little bit later on that evening, towards dark, the lady called, next door lady, and said, called my mother by name and said, you know, Stanley was over here. Did he by any chance see, I believe the little boy's name was Sammy, Sammy's bracelet? And my mother said, I'll find out. So she brought me in, said, but now I said, Stanley, have you seen Sammy's bracelet? What bracelet? I don't know about a bracelet. I ain't seen a bracelet. I was lying, of course. Well, my mother, as I said, she said, Stanley, Miss Kearns would have not called over here and asked me if she didn't think you had something to do with that bracelet. Oh, no, Mama, no, Mama, no. Well, it went on that a little while, and I got to where I couldn't look at Mama. She was here, and I was here, but I was looking this way. She held my feet to the fire. She wouldn't say, well, you poor baby, they just missed you. Stanley, where is the bracelet? I finally said, Mama, I hid it. She got the flashlight. Me and her went to where I hid it and got the bracelet. She gave me the bracelet and said, now you go give it back. Whoa. And I was little, folks. I never forgot that lesson either. We've got to walk certain places. What's that old song that used to be popular on the radio? You got to walk that lonesome valley. And no one else can walk it for you. There's going to be a price to get to heaven, folks. There's going to be a price that you and me have to pay to maintain the grace of God in our life. We don't want to lay it all on God. You can say it's all God, and I won't argue with you, but folks, He's expecting us to use His grace, use His Word, and use His Spirit, and make a total sacrifice. And if we don't, we're going to suffer. People around us are going to suffer. Lord, help us today to think about that. The world all around us, and I think as time gets more convenient for us in the sense of things, Food's easier to come by. Automobiles. Just you name it, health care. Everything is easier to come by than it was. And we begin as a society to think that's the way everything ought to be. Just ought to be easier on me. And we begin opting out and exchanging out. You know, we see our senators and congressmen, poor people, sinful people, and then they're passing laws to govern us. Pitiful situation. We see them in their corruption, yet dignified in their position. And if it's not careful, we'll start opting out. And we'll think, I've got the easier way coming to me. I've got a right, or I've got a privilege of paying less than the total price. The government will subsidize me if I don't put forth my best effort. I'm not against helping people. Don't go away saying that. But our first duty is to pay the price ourselves. Pay all the price that we can. David understood something here, that it had to cost him. A little later on, Jesus Christ came, and he understood it had to cost him. David understood it. No, I'm not going to let you, Arana. I'm not going to allow you to pay some of this. I'm not going to let you do this. I've got to pay the full price. Jesus Christ, he went to a point. He took the three with him and went on, and he said, now, you three wait here and pray for me. But that was the limits of where they could go. He had to go on into the garden. He had to go to the cross. He had to go to Pilate's hall. He had to go to the Sanhedrin. He had to go and pay the full price for our salvation. So David understood it. Jesus Christ understood it. Paul writes to us and he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Paul understood. There comes a place in every Christian's life, I am convinced of this, when we will see the cross. And it won't be the cross of Jesus, per se, but it'll be our cross. I saw a death, I had to die. A death in which my soul doth cry. I don't want to do it. But it's our cross. It's our price. It's our humiliation, if you will. It's our humbling. It's our dedication. The preacher, mom and dad, no one can make it for us. It's something I've got to do. And there's not an easy way. There's not a way to just say, here, take some money and give it into the coffers and you'll avoid embarrassment. Can't do it that way. David said it just won't work that way. Paul said, and they that are Christ in 5 and 24 Galatians, and they that belong to Jesus Christ, maybe, perhaps, they ought to, and some of them have, made a sacrifice of total commitment. It's not what Paul said. Folks, he said something so powerful to us. And they that are Christ, that Christ can identify with, and that the blessings of Christ can pour out on, have crucified the flesh. No one can do that for us with the affections and the lust. No one else can pay the total price. You're unique, and I'm unique, and no one can pay that price. You know, I could, and I'm not saying this is wrong per se, but if I've got to make a commitment and a price and pay it to God, I can seek counsel, I can ask others to pray with me, and I'm not saying don't do that. But folks, they can pray and they can encourage. But I've got to pay the price. It's got to come out of my account. If it comes out of my wife's account, it's not valid. If it comes out of the preacher's account, I'm talking figuratively now, it's not valid. The price has to come from me. It has to come from my sacrifice. It has to come from my dedication. It has to come from that which will hurt me financially. That which will hurt me emotionally. It's something I have always went back to when I was in trouble. It's my defense. And taking my defense from me is hurting me. It's a little frightening. It's costly, you see. Cause asking me to give up my convictions that are in error or that are proudful, that are costing relationships, asking me to give up that, why, I've always done, is exacting, and it hurts, and it's costly, but it's well-pleasing to God. Jesus Christ hurt, folks. Jesus Christ cried, and He bled, and He despised what He was going to have to do. But He did it completely. And God said, it's well pleasing. He accepted that. Nothing else but the Lamb of God would have paid the price. Nothing else but my total commitment from me will pay the price. The thought came to me, consider yourself today. I want to consider myself. And maybe today you're feeling like life's not fair. And someone is not right in what they think, say, or do toward you. You're unhappy for some reason whatsoever. Maybe there's something that's just robbing you. Maybe you're consumed or have a lot of self-will. And it's hard for you to listen to instructions. I don't know. Just a trouble. Is it possible, and I ask this question, is it possible you could trace your trouble back to not paying the full price? Think for a moment, what if David had not have paid the full price? Said in there that the Lord, I believe, repented or retreated. He stepped back from his anger. The anger of the Lord, even though the 3 days of pestilence would have been over with perhaps in a day or two. Even though that would have happened, the anger of the Lord would have still been kindled against David. And David would have still suffered. Could it be today I'm suffering? Could it be today you're suffering for a rather simple reason, but a very costly reason? I'm not willing to pay the price. Think about it. Something to think about. Abraham was promised, as far as your eye can see, this is going to be your land, Abraham. The Lord had him make a sacrifice. He hewed up the sacrifice. And he waited for God. And he waited for God. And he waited for God. The big fowls, I'm going to say the old crows, ravens, maybe a hawk, flying through the air, saw, wow, free food. Started dive bombing it. And guess what they saw? Abraham, get out of here. Shh, shh. He didn't put up scarecrows. He didn't lay it to somebody else's charge. He didn't hire an assistant. Abraham stood by that sacrifice. And those fowls, I don't imagine, you know, you get a bunch of old pesky crows, and it doesn't take long for them to figure out whether that guy can hurt them or not. And they can get a little more bold. Maybe there was a hawk or two involved in this. Maybe an eagle. We don't know what all was there. Maybe little sparrow hawks. Maybe camped around the trees just to lusting after that. But there was Abraham. And it stayed on that way till dark. And guess who was still there? Abraham. Abraham and the sacrifice. Abraham and the sacrifice. I'm not going to leave it. I'm not going to stay away from it. I'm going to stay right here and guard it because my blessing is in that sacrifice. After a while, a smoke from the Lord came and a flame from the Lord came and passed through the pieces of the meat, the flesh. And the blessings of the Lord came down and the inheritance and a covenant, it said, if you look up this and read it, it's in Genesis, the 15th chapter. God at that point made a covenant with Abraham. God accepted the total price. God wants to covenant with every one of us here today. Are we wanting that covenant enough that we might inherit the land? You hear me speak about liberty a lot. I feel that's something God wants us to have. And maybe we need some stirring in our pure minds about it. Is our liberty hindered perhaps this morning because I am not willing to make a full price? It's going to take myself on the altar to be set free from the encumbrances of this world. It's going to take me being totally dedicated and consumed as the burnt offering where I no longer exist in the sense of my will and running obtuse to the Lord. Oh, I still breathe. I still live, as Paul said, but I'm crucified and it's Him and me now. Could we suffer as a people because there's not the degree of paying the full price? Have we relied on ourselves a little too much as an individual or as a people? Just something to think about. God sent the blessings when they paid the full price. You remember Jacob that we heard about in the revival meeting? Who has wrestled before? I don't have to raise your hands. Most of the guys, maybe some of the girls, have wrestled. And I don't mean just a little 30-second tussle. But I mean actually get in a match, someone about your peer, and try to pin the other one. I know some of you guys have. You know one of the things about wrestling? It is total exertion. Unless you just flop over and say, you got me. You exert. You're breathing hard. And if they got rounds, you're ready for the coach to blow the whistle and say, take a 2-minute break. I know boxing's that way. I want to tell you something. Jacob was tired. The man had wrestled all night. Jacob had come to the end of Jacob's rope. Mentally, physically, emotionally, and he regretted his life, as we heard. But did you know? The angel said, day breaks, let me go. And what did Jacob say? What would you have said? Man, I thought you never would leave me. Whew. Goodbye, good riddance. No, Jacob didn't do that. He said, I got a hold of you. And I'm tired. I'm give out. I'm wore out. I'm somewhat afraid. I am weary. I'm embarrassed about myself. But I'm not going to turn loose. I'm paying the price right here. I'm going to make a total surrender. I'm going to make a total sacrifice. I am not going to allow you to give me a way out of this thing. Then he asked him, he said, well, what is your name? Angel said, well, you don't need to know that. But he changed something that needed to be changed. He changed Jacob. We've heard about that. I don't want to go there again. But he changed Jacob. And how did he change Jacob? I'm not leaving till you bless me. I'm going to stay right here with the sacrifice. This morning, as we started off, we're talking about something only you can do. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. It's a price of the offering that only you can pay. So consider that this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen.